This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.radiokidnappers.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, and protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium.
You're listening to Radio Kidnappers, the voice of Hawke's Bay, and I'm Lynn Trafford, presenting on behalf of the Hawke's Bay branch of the Royal Society of New Zealand, Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air. This program is your opportunity to get to know recently retired and practicing scientists from around the bay. With me in the studio, I have Dr. Benedict van Hooydonk, known to family, friends, business associates as Ben. From horticultural apprenticeship in pip and stone fruit production to plant physiologist at Plant and Food Research, today we will learn about Ben's 22-year horticultural career. So we welcome you to Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air and Radio Kidnappers, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
It's lovely to have you here. I have to really start off because I know it's going to be an interesting chat today. Are you by any chance a Hawke's Bay boy?
Yes, I was born in Hastings.
Oh, good. Where did you go to primary school?
I went to Hastings Central Primary.
And did you go to Hastings Intermediate?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. And where'd you go to college?
Karamu High School.
Uh-huh. Just round the corner.
Just round the
Not
corner.
Not too far from us. All right then. Was there a time when you were sitting at Karamu when you thought, gosh, a career in horticulture would be quite good for me? I think I'll go away and be an apprentice.
I've always liked growing plants. My mother was a keen gardener. And in my childhood, we had the typical quarter acre section. And one day we planted some apricot seeds and they grew.
Yep. Lucky.
And I spent about 6 years waiting for these trees to flower. And so I thought that taught me patience, but it also, I think, instilled a love of fruit growing from an early age. And so at high school, I took horticulture because I was really interested in it. And with orchards around us, it is infectious.
I suppose it is really, isn't it? You can't help but notice.
That's right.
You notice when it's apple time or peach time.
Yep. And all the lovely fruit on the trees.
I know. We're very lucky, aren't we?
Very.
Uh-huh. So you go away from school and you do a horticultural apprenticeship.
That's right.
What did that teach you? What were you doing?
So it's a 3-year course of study where you do on-the-job training. And so your employer teaches you how to prune, how to spray, how to manage soil and soil fertility, irrigation. So it's basically the whole orchard management, plant culture and husbandry. And you have on-the-job training, so you have an assessor come in and they will assess whether you're up to the standard, for example, whether you can apply agrochemicals safely, can you keep a spray diary, And it's also combined with learning at EIT or the Open Polytech of New Zealand. So it's no different to what an electrician would do or a plumber.
No, it's the same, isn't it?
Yep.
Except it's the same thing. X number of hours, tick them all off, pass the exams, and then get on with your trade.
That's right. It is a trade.
It is. But you didn't quite follow the model, did you? You kind of got sidetracked along the way, really.
Yes.
A light turned on somewhere. What happened to you, Ben?
Well, I think there are a lot of things going on in the industry. We had quite a big hailstorm in the mid-90s, and a lot of the apprentices and cadets left, largely because growers were in financial trouble. And I thought long and hard about staying in horticulture, and I actually spent a couple of years travelling overseas, and I was in Nepal, and I saw an apple orchard in the Himalayas, and it made me feel good, and I went over and had a look, and I thought, well, actually, I want to stick with what I know. I enjoy fruit growing, but I also thought that Hawke's Bay, as a region, has a really good climate, soils. We have a really good future to supply food to the world.
And we have good people too.
We do.
Yes.
Yep. And so I saw it as an opportunity. The fact that young people had left, I saw a real opportunity to upskill. And I always had an inquisitive mind on the orchard. I could drive the tractor with my feet because I'd get so bored. I wouldn't say that today.
No, we won't tell anyone
safety.
About that. Gosh,
but,
no.
But you know, I wasn't challenged mentally, and there were many questions and problems that I saw. And so I thought, well, you know, science may be a way to begin to understand and solve some of those.
So off we go to Massey University, round about year 2000?
Yes.
As an adult student?
That's right. I started extramurally while working full-time to test the water.
Oh,
I think
dear.
I took macroeconomics 101, but that was really enjoyable. And so having a few papers under my belt, you know, made me believe I could do it.
You could do it.
Yep.
Also, I think going as an adult student, you had a very good practical background upon which to formalise your study. Now, a lot of ones just going straight from school, had you gone straight from school, you wouldn't have had all that to build upon. It must have given you a huge start on what it is that you're studying. It maybe didn't give you a huge start on the science and the mathematics, but it did on what it was that you were really focusing on wanting to achieve.
Yeah.
Big tick, Ben. Good on you.
Thank you, yeah.
So off we go to Massey. What are we doing down there? A Bachelor of Applied Science in Horticulture.
That's right.
And what about the period of study during that first degree? What were you looking at?
In terms of
horticulture still.
Horticulture, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year of that degree is mainly around the fundamental sciences and mathematics, and they also incorporate business management into that degree. And then in your second and third years, it becomes more specialised into horticulture in terms of you learn very broadly, from ornamentals to fruit crops to annual vegetable crops and things like that. And in the third year, you get to focus more on fruit production or areas that you like. And so the degree is really, towards the end, is providing you with an understanding of plant physiology to then apply to the production of these crops.
Good. And you enjoyed it once you got into what your mind had to really do?
Yes, I did. Yep, it was really enjoyable. The first year was very hard
for me. I'm sure it was, yeah.
I didn't have science. I didn't have mathematics. And I had to work really, really hard to pass. But by the end of it, as an adult student, I had just sheer guts and application, really. I'd been out and done all the young teenage stuff and really wasn't that interested in it so much. So, yeah, it was easier to apply myself to my work, and it was more like a job.
Just ticking it off one by one by one by one.
That's right.
Good on you. Best way to do it. However, finishing that, you then decided, you must have decided, I'm really enjoying this. I'm going to stick around for honours.
Yep. That came about. I got very good grades as an adult student. I graduated first in the applied science degree out of all the majors. I was awarded the Lord Bledisloe Prize because of my grade point average. And that opened up a whole lot of doors, and in particular honours. So all of a sudden people were offering you scholarships and the payment of your fees and things like that. So
nice little bonus.
Yeah.
Huh? And a good reward for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden these opportunities opened because of the work I'd put in.
Mm-hmm. So on your honours year, what was the focus of your research that year?
So, yeah, honours year is a mixture of advanced papers in an area of science that you're interested in. So I studied advanced plant and fruit physiology papers. But also you get to do a research project, which is about a quarter of your studies in terms of your time. And my project was looking at an irrigation technique called deficit irrigation. So it's essentially trying to grow apple trees but use less water while achieving the same yield and fruit quality.
Good. You enjoyed that? You must have done. Because you would have had all the practical stuff sitting there and get your hands dirty again.
I loved it because I got to grow this beautiful crop of Pacific Rose apples.
I got to measure
the trees with all the photosynthetic equipment. And then I got to pick them, harvest them, weigh them, analyse all the data, and then I published a paper out of it.
So all that research was done here in the Bay, was it?
No, that was done in Palmerston North.
In Palmerston North? Oh, what a shame. Never mind.
They do grow some apples.
They do. And they do grow some grapes for wine down there as well. I know that. I thought I had visions of you popping home. Okay, so you did that research down there in Palmerston North. Okay, so we get the honours degree. We've done the research. Big tick.
Yep.
We didn't stop, though, did we?
No. Again, more doors opened up. With my honours, I graduated with first class honours, and so I was offered a Massey Vice Chancellor's scholarship. I also applied for a forced top doctoral scholarship, which is awarded to the top 5% of PhD candidates in New Zealand, and I got it, which was great. And that was a really nice scholarship because it supplied me with a stipend for 3 years. It paid all my fees, and it also paid for one conference, international conference, for me to attend. And so, yeah, once these doors opened up, I also applied for a Pipfruit New Zealand Fellowship, which supported my research that I did in my PhD. So, yeah, I was very lucky, and all the hard work paid off, and all of a sudden I had a PhD that I managed to get funded and also live while I completed it.
Absolutely wonderful. Very, very good. Through sheer hard work, I'm sure. PhD, your study there was a little bit different from the honours study. What were you studying for your PhD?
So my PhD looked at the physiology of rootstock dwarfing. So in our commercial apple orchards, we graft the fruiting variety or scion onto a rootstock. And, you know, your normal apple tree can grow very tall, 7 metres plus. If we graft them onto a dwarf rootstock, we can get a tree that's around 3 to 4 metres high at maturity. And that has a lot of benefits in terms of reducing the cost of picking, increases the fruit quality.
It's just easier, isn't it?
Yep.
Really, rather than always being up on great big, really, really, really high lettuce.
That's right. So, I mean, dwarfing as a process in fruit crops has been known for over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
But in terms of understanding how a tree becomes dwarfed and when it becomes dwarfed after grafting, we had no concept or knowledge. And we also had very little understanding in terms of the hormones, growth hormones that control growth in the tree and that are modified by the rootstock. So my PhD was trying to understand some really simple but fundamentally important questions. What is dwarfing? When does it happen? And how is it regulated by the rootstock?
I think you're a wonderful example of an adult student going off to university, regardless of which one it is. And because of your maturity, knuckling under, putting in the hard yards, getting the scholarships, getting extra gifts, I suppose, from the academic world that you would not have got had you gone straight from school. And for anyone that's listening out there in Radio Kidnappers land, this on behalf of us all, Ben, you get a great big tick. You get a great big tick from me. All of this culminated in starting work in 2009 with plant and food research here in the Bay.
Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh. So home to the Bay. And you were working on apples, were you? What were you doing when you came home to the Bay?
Yes, I work with both apples and kiwi fruit.
Apples and kiwi fruit. On the work that you were doing when you returned to the Bay and you got your first job with plant and food research, were you able to apply what you had been studying at Massey, your honours study, your PhD study, were you able to bring that study back and apply it?
Absolutely.
Okay,
Absolutely.
So what happened to you?
I'll tell you the story briefly. Our science group leader, Stuart Tustin, was an external supervisor of my PhD, and Stuart's sort of the guru on rootstocks and rootstock physiology. He must have liked my thesis, and he said to me, Ben, we've had a staff member leave. There's a position coming up. Would you like to apply for it? And it just happened to be really good timing. I was finishing my thesis, and I applied for it. I got a very thorough interview, a good grilling. So I didn't walk into the job. I had to apply for it like anyone else. And, yeah, so it was kind of who you know and very good timing too. And the work I do or had done at Massey in terms of the irrigation physiology and in particular the dwarfing rootstock physiology has really was tightly linked in with some fundamental science that Plant and Food has been doing in the past and still continues to work in. So I still work in those areas.
Uh-huh. So I gleaned from notes that I've read about you that when you started work with Plant and Food, you were looking at canopy management as well as rootstock.
Yes.
And tree propagation, pruning, productivity potential, those sorts of things. Canopy management, what is that?
Canopy management. So tree canopies, we need, ultimately, we've got to think about the quality of fruit we produce. And if you walk into a supermarket and you see fruit that are not red or bruised or got defects
on
them.
Hail marks on them.
Hail marks. You know, so fruit quality is critical for the consumer. And if a consumer sees a piece of fruit visually and it looks nice to eat, they're going to buy it. But the next important thing is, how does that fruit eat? What is its internal quality like? And if a consumer has a bad experience, they don't come back a second time.
They don't
time.
Buy that apple ever again, do they? They buy a different kind.
And so that's the guts of the work we do on fruit quality and canopies is to really optimize the quality visually, but also the internal quality so that, you know, our industries can continue to produce good product that consumers will want to purchase again and again.
One of the other interesting things that I know you've been working on is called Future Orchard Planting Systems.
That's right.
What is this and why are you doing that? What are you trying to achieve here, please?
So this is probably the most exciting piece of research that I'm involved in, and it's led by Stuart Tustin, and I think it's been a combination of a lot of talking over the years about where orchards are going to need to head in the future. And when you think about the big picture in the world, we've got an increasing population that we will need to feed by 2050, and some predict that we need to increase food production by 70%. That's a real opportunity for Hawke's Bay and producers here. You know, we've got growing affluence in Asia, which is, you know, going to be a big market for our products. We've got new varieties bred at Plant and Food that are, you know, really exceptional in terms of their eating qualities and storage qualities.
And that's also building on other apples that you've already developed,
that's
isn't
right,
it? It's
sure.
not as if you haven't done anything in the past.
Exactly.
When
yep.
you think of things like Gala and Envy and...
Yep.
etc. I lost their names at the minute. But we've done those in the past, so building on them is great science, isn't it?
It is, it is.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, so getting back to, you know...
Double productivity?
Yeah, so coming back to if we want to grow our industry into the future, we don't have extensive land resources in Hawke's Bay. We're limited, it's finite. So... if we're to grow our industry, we're going to have to increase productivity off the existing land area. And at the moment, our productivity by world standards is high, but it could be a lot better. And the science tells us that we could potentially double the productivity of our orchards while still producing high-quality fruit.
And by doubling, you don't mean putting lots more extra trees in, do you? You mean using the trees that you've got and increasing the quantity.
So the way we're doing it is redesigning the trees. So at the moment, our orchards have big rows where we drive the tractors down.
Yes.
And in those rows, we produce no canopy. So what we've done is we've redesigned our trees differently, and we've brought the rows in closer together. We've still used the same amount of trees, but we've spread the tree out slightly longer.
Yeah.
And by doing that, we will increase the canopy and the capture of sunlight over the land area and the yields.
Okay. Now, while you're doing that, are you able to incorporate into that your honours study of deficit irrigation, or is that happening or not?
Oh, sure. It's probably a little bit early, but the physiology, the physiological principles and understanding in that work is definitely applicable, because these new trees are radically different shaped. They don't have branches. They're very thin. They're only about a half a metre wide. They more look like a grapevine than an apple tree.
Oh, okay, but they're going to be tall and skinny sort of things.
They will. And we need that for not only light down in the lower part of the canopy, so we get fruit colour, but also, you know, for spray penetration. These trees will look very different. They'll probably have a lot less leaf in them than our traditional trees.
Okay.
And that will change the water use of the canopy. So these trees potentially could save water while still producing more fruit.
Does that mean, because when you look around Hawke's Bay now, everywhere we drive, there are rows and rows and rows of apple trees.
Yep.
What is going to happen to those? Are they going to come out, or will they still be producing like they currently are while you're developing these tall, skinny trees? How do you marry the two of them up, Ben?
That's a good question. It certainly takes time with any innovation, and we wouldn't expect Hawke's Bay to simply chop out everything and replant.
No, I'm sure not. I'm just trying to work out how we change from one to the other.
Generally, it's still proof of concept, and We're at very early stages, and to prove it, we've probably got to wait another 6 years at least to see if we can reach these yields and see what the quality is.
Because it's got to be worth the farmers or the orchardists.
Yep, sure, absolutely. There's got to be a financial benefit.
It does,
and the bottom line is profit.
And if you've got to pull one lot out and plant another,
the practical reality would be, if you have an old block that is unproductive or you're changing varieties, that could be a good time to replant with a new system.
Uh-huh. With all this going on the same piece of land, how do we feed our soil at the time? You're just constantly using the same piece of soil,
aren't you? Yep.
What happens to the soil?
Well, ideally, you know, in all horticulture, you'd practice crop rotation. And, you know, that's, in an ideal world, that's not possible. Orchards I've worked in the past in Hawke's Bay, we used to cycle between stone fruit and apples. But when you start replanting apple into apple ground, you get problems with organisms in the soil that stunt the growth of the trees. So fumigation is typically needed.
Of the soil, which
kills off a lot of the microbes and the trees grow. And longer term, I mean, soil is a big issue. I mean, it's an important resource.
It's as important as the water, isn't it?
Oh, really? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and what about pests as well? I mean, we as consumers, Mr. and Mrs. Lynn's all over the place, we actually don't like the thought that our products are being constantly sprayed to get rid of pests. What are you doing to accept that mentality of your consumer?
Yeah, I think the fruit industry of New Zealand is right up there in reducing spray use. I'm not an entomologist or a pathologist.
No, I don't but, mean for that, but you do. But it all ties in together.
Yeah, sure.
It?
I mean, from my experience of beginning on the orchard, when I was a cadet, I used to spray organophosphates, and I used to have a blood test, a couple of times a season.
Well, some of those were pretty vicious, weren't they, what we were doing?
Extremely toxic.
We don't do that now, though, do we?
No, we don't. And that's an example of innovation through science, where we've got chemicals that target a particular pest, and they're very low in toxicity and don't persist in the environment. So, and, you know, we used to spray every year for mites. You know, mites used to drop all the leaves off our trees, and it was normal to spray three or four miticides. With technologies like integrated pest management, where we actually have figured out that certain fungicides will, if you use them, they'll kill some of the beneficial mites in the orchards. So changing fungicides has meant that the beneficial mites are there, and all of a sudden we don't spray for mites as an industry. So straight away there's four, you know.
It's just gone.
Gone. So, in the time I've been working, it's been amazing the advances in reducing spray inputs and the monitoring of only spraying when it's necessary, but also the the chemical technologies, they're a lot kinder and softer than the older ones.
So you're stopping the spraying?
Well, it's been reduced.
Yeah, yep. Sorry, it's been reduced. Yep. You've stopped all the nasty spraying, though. You've yep. reduced it. So in reducing all that and looking after the soil and getting the watering right and the rootstock, we've actually got increased productivity.
Yep,
providing it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, providing you've got the light interception so you can grow your canopy to its full size, you will get.
Have you any idea, Ben, when we might see these different shaped trees appear on the landscape in the bay? Or are we
going to
see that? We will see it, won't we? And we will notice a big difference because we see these kind of spooky Trifid-like trees
out there at the
moment when they've got no leaves on them.
There are some small commercial trial blocks of about 1 hectare being planted. So that's the first step in the change. And it's a good way to approach it because, you know, it's risky to convert a whole system to a completely new idea.
Yeah.
So
that's really good. So the future for you, for your industry, at Plant and Food Research, where are we going in the future? What, other than tall, skinny trees, what are we going to notice in the bay when we look to your work?
I think the bay's got a really bright, strong future. We've got these great resources, land, soil, water. We've got great science and innovation. We've got good varieties. We've got access to markets like Asia. So I think longer term we will really prosper. And in terms of, you know, where I want to be as a scientist, this is the place to be because I think some of the science that is going on here is the most exciting internationally.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really enjoying being a part of it. I also enjoy contributing back to the fruit industry who supported me through my cadetship right through to my university studies through scholarships.
And you belong to a couple of societies so that you can keep yourself modern and up to date with what they are all doing as well. So you belong to the International Society of Horticultural Science and the New Zealand Institute of Agriculture and Horticultural Science. So it all fits together and keeps you on track, so to speak, Ben. On behalf of the Hawke's Bay branch of the Royal Society of New Zealand and of Radio Kidnappers, thank you, Dr. Ben van Hoorunk, for being my guest on Hawke's Bay Scientists on Air. To find out more about horticultural degrees at Massey or the sort of research that plant and food research is doing, the role of the Royal Society in New Zealand or in Hawke's Bay, a Google search is a good way to begin, and it will probably keep you busy for hours and hours, really, when I stop and think about that. Please join me again on Monday mornings at 9:30 to meet another practicing or recently retired Hawke's Bay scientist. I'm Lynn Trafford.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a volunteer-based community access station. For more information, go to www.radiokidnappers.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project.